Hey there. Welcome back to Affirmative Action. I'm your host, Antoinette Grajeda. A record number of Americans cast their ballots in 2020, but it turns out voter turnout in Arkansas was low compared to the rest of the country. According to a biennial report from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, Arkansas ranked dead last compared to all of the other states and the District of Columbia. A report from Statista ranked Arkansas's voter turnout rates in the 2020 presidential election just above Oklahoma, but either way, pretty low, right? So higher turnout nationwide meant more BIPOC voters cast their ballot. According to the Brennan Center for Justice, more Black Americans voted in 2020 than any presidential election since 2012. And Latinos and Asian Americans also surpassed their previous turnout records. However, a large racial turnout gap persisted in the 2020 election. While nearly 71% of white voters cast their ballot, only 58.4% of non-white voters did. This includes roughly 63% of Black voters, 54% of Latino voters, and 60% of Asian voters. The Brennan Center warns the disparity will likely worsen with new restrictive voting laws. In the natural state, the League of Women Voters of Arkansas has filed a lawsuit against the Secretary of State challenging four such laws. That case is still making its way through the courts. The first step in increasing voter turnout is making sure people are registered to vote, and several BIPOC organizers across the state are doing just that. In the 2020 election, Kedra Burrell ran as a Democrat for District 27 in the Arkansas Senate. She lost to incumbent Trent Garner, and since then, she's gone on to create Fight Forward Arkansas, a nonpartisan nonprofit working to register and activate new Arkansas voters. Kedra is executive director of the organization, which has been registering voters across the state. She's joining us today, along with Margarita Solorzano, executive director and one of the founding members of the Hispanic Women's Organization of Arkansas in Springdale. We're also speaking with Osiris Bali, organizer for the Little Rock Freedom Fund.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. We really appreciate it. Kedra, I'm going to start with you. I'd love to know a little bit more about your organization and why you ended up starting it, since yours is very much focused on the topic of the day, registering minority voters as well as educating them.
Fight Forward came out of a desire to not let the momentum that my campaign for Senate had built up. And my campaign was not as much about winning as it was the progress, the process, you know, bringing awareness to areas that had not been touched by our normal political machines. And so I spent a lot of my time in rural Arkansas, you know, talking to voters, not just about voting, but about the issues that affect their lives. And I found myself also doing like social service stuff, like, you know, hey, do you know where I can get, you know, a childcare assistance voucher? Well, in fact, I do. Let me show you what we're doing. Let me show you how that can work. And so a big part of Fight Forward is meeting the voter where they are. And sometimes that is talking to them about things that are definitely off topic, but that are important to them. And it builds that relationship because we have three pillars in Fight Forward. We have the voter registration wing, which is, of course, important. But as equally important is the education and engagement aspect of our organization, because we want to make sure that not only do they realize that we care about them as a voter, but we want to make sure they're aware of what's going around them as a voter and what power they have, and what better way to show them their power than to educate them about what they can vote on. And then the third is, of course, the voter protection. And that was important to me because we had several issues in my race that were infringed upon people's rights. You know, I was not on ballots I was supposed to be on in whole counties, I mean, in whole precincts, just not there. And so our election commission was like, oh, well, don't worry about it. You know, you'll probably win anyway, because it was just the primary. But that wasn't what the purpose of my election was. The purpose of my election was to show that every vote counted and every voter should participate. And so we have that wing, we have a volunteer group of attorneys from across the state that are willing to be on call for issues like that. And then we also do poll watcher trainings and, you know, things like that, so that we can supply that for people during elections. So Fight Forward is just that. We are fighting forward. We're fighting to push our state forward, whether it be blue, red, or purple. It's just, it needs to be where everyone's voice is heard and everyone has an opportunity to participate in our democratic process, because that's the beauty of our country, right? Democracy.
So a fairly new organization doing this work, Margarita, the Hispanic Women's Organization of Arkansas, started in 1999. So I've been doing work for a while. And while voter registration isn't your main cause, because you do a lot for the Hispanic community, it is one of your focuses. Can you tell me a little bit more about the program that is focused on voter education, voter registration?
First, thank you for having me in this conversation. We started in 1999 responding to the needs of the changing demographics in Arkansas, especially in Northwest Arkansas, because the numbers were changing, but the same, it was little participation and still little participation of the Latino community in regards of voting and also running for office. But then we were just responding mostly to some personal issues, but because in a lot of the instances, the members of the organization were the first in their workplace, the only ones. We represent the diversity of agencies, a lot of misunderstandings, but also one of the main things was to support education among the Latino community. Many people thought that most of the people came to work on the poultry plants, and that was our only mission in life. But at the same time, we had a lot of young people who were not aware of their other potential, or were not aware of the opportunities for higher education. So we started with a scholarship program. Later, we started other programs, and one of them was voter registration. We were doing that work at the beginning. We also realized that there were not too many people who qualified for registering, that were not aware of the immigration process, and they didn't have enough information about how the system works. Out of that need, we also started the citizenship assistance program, because even though people were not ready to register to vote, they were not U.S. citizens, but they met the qualifications to apply for citizenship. And for that, working, promoting education and working on citizenship, we're also making sure that the younger generations were more aware about the opportunities, about the rights and responsibilities of being a U.S. citizen, and also give them the opportunity for them to be the leaders in the future. Because again, as a new growing community in the state, we didn't also have the qualified people or the prepared people to run for office. So it is it's a puzzle that we have been working on, putting together and making sure that the people that we assist are aware of the opportunities, that they have access to education, and with that education, they were also able to apply for office or just to register to vote. That is important, that we have educated community, that they can make the difference for those who are not able to register to vote. So there is a lot of more probably in our plate, because we are talking about a community that is new to the area, is new to the United States, and also coming from countries where politics are not necessarily something that we trust, because we already know that there is a system that is not welcoming in a way. And in a way, here in Arkansas, we are dealing with the same issues, because even though there is a lot of more opportunities, we already know that the participation has to be strong. Otherwise, It doesn't matter how much organization goes into this. There is already people there making the laws they want to pass. And it doesn't matter how much we participate, sometimes our voice is not counted. And that is something that we hope as an organization, the younger generations are more prepared to actually address those issues and change the laws that are more friendly to people in their community, not just the people in power.
Osiris, with the Little Rock Freedom Fund, your focus is raising money for bail, but you do have this initiative pushing for voter education and registration. What does that look like? What are some of the things that you're doing to accomplish that?
Little Rock Freedom Fund is an organization that was just created for the people, by the people, to support activists, organizers, and protesters in Arkansas, as well as educate, organize, and activate the people. That is the mission, and we are just basically getting started because we formed last year during the summer of protests. But we felt the need to focus on some other things that we felt were important in the community. And one of the things is voter education. The reason why we wanted to do that is because we wanted to target the communities and give them basically unbiased election information and aid voter education as much in Arkansas. There was a report that came out by Statista. Arkansas ranked 50th in voter registration and voter and 50th in voter turnout last year. And so we just wanted to look at that and try to come up with a solution for that. And not only come up with a solution, but try to come up with as many innovative ways as possible to engage voters and to do voter registration and voter mobilization. And while at the same time being transparent, because we know that a lot of this election information comes from, you know, biases or whatever sometimes. And so we just wanted to make an effort to try to help people who are formerly incarcerated in our community regain their voting rights. A lot of times people don't know that, like, you know, once you've been, the term we use is off papers. Once you're off papers in our community, you know what I'm saying, you can go get your voter, your voting rights back as soon as you're done paying all the fines and the fees and all the stuff that goes along with getting off probation. You can get your voter rights back. And this is a way that we felt that, you know, would help people have a positive perspective in when they're re-entering into society, you know what I'm saying? Also, we wanted to try to do really focus on engaging people, young voters who between the ages of 18 and 25. It's no secret that a lot of people feel like, you know, they kind of get lost in the sauce with the politics. It's so much a two-party system loyalty a lot of times that people have kind of lost faith in that political process of going to vote. And so we wanted to reinvigorate the young voters to come out and to know that there's more on the ballot than just the presidential election. There's so many things that are happening in our community that we have to use our voice, especially in these marginalized communities, at the ballot, you know what I'm saying? And so there's power in the ballot. When we look at voter turnout, we see that there's not a lot of resources put into voter education, voter registration. And so if you want a good turnout with voter registration, voter education, you have to put those resources in that direction to get that desired outcome. And not only that, we want people to make an educated vote. Don't just go vote down the party lines. Be informed about what you're doing. You know, we want you to go to the political forums and the candidate forums. We want you to read up on the ordinances and the different initiatives that are on the ballot. So not blindly going to vote, because we don't want people to go up there to the ballot and shoot themselves in the foot. A lot of times that's what happens with people, and then you start hearing phrases like voter fatigue and voter apathy. So, but more than anything, what we want to do is give unbiased election information, encourage people to vote, be involved in the communities and civic engagement. We feel that as long as we're, you know, organizing with the people for the people, that's just one way to use your voice in our communities.
So when you all are trying to register voters with your respective organizations, what, generally speaking, is the reaction that you get from people that you approach? I'm curious if you find a lot of people that are, like you all kind of mentioned, disillusioned and just why participate in the process? It doesn't matter. Or if it's more just a lack of education, or if it's some combination of the two. Generally, what is it that you encounter when trying to register voters?
In my case, probably it's a combination. There is a lack of understanding of the system, but also lack of understanding of the Latino vote, because a lot of times people think that we are inclined to just register for one party, and we are not a monolithic community. There is very diverse in their culture, and there is a lot of diversity in the political views. As an organization, we always do a non-partisan voter registration. However, many people think that because we are Hispanic or Latino, we are just registering in party lines, and which is not happening. So a lot of people just tell, no, I'm belong to this other political party and I don't want to register with you. So there is a misunderstanding. So that's why we always have to make sure that we put up front that we are non-partisan organization, and regardless of the political party, they can still register with us. But also, regardless of their political views, there is important for them to be registered and to participate, to exercise their right, because otherwise we are numbers, as the US Census represent. We represent this percentage of population. However, we are just numbers because we are not participating. We are not voting. We are not exercising our rights. And that is important for people to understand, that regardless of their political views or their political party, it is important for them to register, to participate, and also to exercise their rights, and not just in going to the polls on election days, but also being in. And maybe one of the main things is for them to think about running for office and some opportunity.
I mean, for us, you know, we encounter the lack of education and the apathy, but also just kind of this reality that, you know, life is just hard right now. And it's just hard for people. And sometimes you feel kind of silly approaching them with something like voting at a time when they may be hungry or they may not have a place to stay. And so we are just really conscious of the population that we're speaking to at the time, and understanding their issues and understanding how to meet them where their needs are. So we talk to them, not just about their needs or kind of voting, but just life, right? Because some of this is just about relationship building. And we are nonpartisan, and we pride ourselves on being nonpartisan, because I want everybody to register and I want everybody to vote. And, you know, I may have my personal beliefs, but I just want the voices to be heard. If I felt as though what was happening at our Capitol in Arkansas was the voice of the people, and that's what the state wants, like genuinely, then I would say fine, fight for it, it's done its job, you know. But I know that our Black and Brown people are not being heard 100%, because we're not even represented, right? And so, you know, I talk to people about that. I talk to them about, you know, do you want people that are not like you making decisions for you? And a lot of times that kind of rings the bell, like, you know what, you're right, because they've never been in my shoes or in my culture or understand how we do things, right? And so I can't make a decision for Margarita and her family because I don't understand their, I understand their culture, but I don't understand, you know, Margarita understands her culture. She understands what's happening there. And I understand mine. And so we talk to them more about, what do you see the needs are in your community? And then I can tell you how your vote can make a difference in that. And by paralleling it that way, it kind of brings it home a little bit, because at this point, you know, you're talking to people here, like, you know, this, they're going on here, and then voting is all the way somewhere else. Like, it's not even in their lane of thought right now. They're trying to get through today. They're trying to find employment. They're trying to find childcare for their kids. You know, they're trying to combat the rising prices that are happening for not the rising income. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so many life things happening. And so we have to just be conscious of that as an organization. And that's why I think we've been successful in registering voters, is because we're not just saying, hey, I want to talk to you about registering to vote, and that's it. It's more like, hey, I want to hold a conversation with you. And in that conversation, I want to educate you on voting and why it's important. And if you're registered, let's check your registration. If you're on papers, let's talk to you about that. You know, LaTanya Austin Laird is wonderful, and she does our trainings on recertifying felons and what we call, you know, people that have given their debt to society is really what we call them, but you know. And so we utilize that as a way to make sure that people understand that we know your situation and that we're cool with that. No judgment here. Let me just talk to you about how to get your rights back, because you know you've done what you're supposed to do, so you deserve those rights back just like anyone else. And so it's just kind of like a 360 degree type process of registering and educating and protecting the vote versus just that bullseye of let's just vote, let's just register, because we've seen, you know, that's just like insanity. We just keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And we haven't gotten the result we wanted. And a lot of good people have tried. So we got to try something different.
Let me add something, because in our situations at the immigrant community, we have also a gap where the parents were not registering because of different circumstances. So this new generation, younger people, are not familiar with the process. They have never been with their parents at the voting sites to cast votes. So there's this a very unfamiliar territory that they don't feel comfortable in navigating. So the younger generations probably are more familiar, are more used to the system, because they went to school here, they have been educated, and there is a lot of more efforts now in capture the Latino vote that was before. So I have seen some differences in approaches, but I still feel that our younger people are not fully comfortable because they don't know the how. They have never been in a voting site accompanying their parents. So they are afraid of making mistakes, of choosing the wrong people, or voting for the wrong issue, because again, it is so foreign to us, the whole system, that there is some reluctancy of people getting to the polls. Another thing also I notice is in our area, the polling sites sometimes change. And even when we tell people, oh, you can do the early voting on such a site, sometimes that weekend is not available. And remember that we are working families, and there's difficulty going to vote on a Tuesday. People have to work, and sometimes you have to wait long hours to cast your vote. And that is a precious time that people need to get ready for work and get their families what they need. And sometimes it's difficult. And if they choose to go on Saturdays, the polling place may or may not be available where we tell them to go. There is not consistency in the polling sites available on regular basis. So there is more than one issue, and the language issue is another that is really important, not just because of the ballots are in English, but also the information about the education, or just the regular notifications on who is running for what, usually are in the English language media, not in the Spanish language. So that is more complex, but it's still, I hope that the younger generations are more familiar. And this is an opportunity to change what we have seen in past years, in past elections, that there is more interest. And as Kedra mentioned, not letting other people decide for you, because only you know what their issues are in your community and your specific section. And not just voting on national elections. And that is another issue, that sometimes we are not familiar with all the different elections that happen throughout the year. And if there is no information, it is hard to figure out how many times we have to go to the polls to cast a vote for either for offices or for issues. And that it can be a local, state, or national issues, but usually we hear more about the national elections. And that is represents a very small percentage of people casting their votes. And as Osiris mentioned, even that when there's national elections, Arkansas is the last place of participation. So we need to change that.
And Margarita, you brought up a good point earlier that I'm going to circle back to, is this idea that the younger generation didn't necessarily have the example of how to be civically engaged. If I remember correctly, your family was pretty politically active and they helped you to be involved at a young age, correct?
My family was somehow involved in right. my country. When I moved here, I had to start a little bit.
Sure, but you had that example. And so I think that's a really good point to make. Osiris, I'm curious, as someone who's an activist and a community organizer, if that was similar for you, that your family set the example for you, they were civically engaged, or is this something that you've come to in a different way?
For me, yeah, my parents were definitely voters. The activism part of it just kind of was just something that was just in me that just kind of surfaced throughout my teen years and up to my early adulthood. But as an artist, I always wanted to make sure that I had messages that were relevant to my community and that I could easily, you know what I'm saying, be able to perform and let people digest from all walks of life, from all different backgrounds. And, you know, that was something that was age appropriate for everybody, you know what I'm saying? And so as an artist, I always tried to use that element of what was going on in the culture, what was going on in the community, and civic engagement and telling people the news through music, because in history, music and art has been a big part of all these movements for social justice and civil rights. And so that's just something that kind of happened to me as a young person, because I think when you're young, you're looking for your place in the community, you're looking for your place in society. And, you know, so the artist community is something that definitely influenced me to have something conscious and something appropriate to bring to the community, because my story is a little bit different than a lot of other people's, than a lot of people's stories who get involved in civic engagement and politics. I come from a background where I probably was considered more of a detriment to my community than somebody that was an asset to the community. So when you have that lifestyle change and you bless and you learn from the situation in your past, and, you know, you live with your regrets, you try to figure out a way, if you did all this negative stuff in the community, how can you double up your efforts and use positive reinforcement? And so that, along with the arts, was how I was able to position myself to try to speak to my community and be a voice for the voiceless. You know?
So when you're out there educating voters or registering them, how do you bring your story to that, and how do you help them understand or see from their perspective how it would be beneficial to be civically engaged?
Honestly, man, just my style and the way I look, my appearance, as soon as I walk up on somebody, I look interested. I'm not afraid to admit that. I don't walk around in a typical 9-to-5 outfit. I'm a colorful person. And when I walk up, a lot of times, I'm introducing myself, but I'm also telling them a little bit about who I am and why I'm here. And I'm asking questions. So if somebody comes to me and I ask them, I say, hey, I come to them and I knock on their door and I say, hey, are you registered to vote? And they'll tell me the answer. And then a lot of times I have something I follow up with. If they register to vote, I'll ask them, hey, have you changed your address? Have you changed your name? you know, these requirements have changed? Have you moved? Have you not voted in a while? Just some of these things, just to kind of, just ways to kick off a conversation to just naturally get into that talk about the reasons why I'm here and what organization I'm representing. And then from those natural conversations, a lot of times we just flow from one topic to the next. And before I leave, you know, so I just make sure that I say, hey, I'm going to be back. But, you know, just in case you didn't know, I might start talking about some of the voter and election laws that have changed in the last legislative session and why in particular that's important to me and what initiatives I'm looking at on the ballot for the next year. And then at the same time, sharing a bit of my story. I believe in like cultural exchange. I believe in just naturally building relationships. You know, so I'm not a networker. I build relationships with people. I want to let people know that, hey, you know, here's my personal number. Here's my social media tags. If you have any questions or, you know, if you have any comments or opinions on ways you want to help out, you want to volunteer. Or if I haven't come to your doorstep or come to your event with anything that you're naturally interested in, tell me what are your interests? What is important to you and your community? And then, you know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people, so let me point you in this direction. Hey, I might not be able to help you with employment or finding a good school or, you know what I'm saying, how can we get a grocery store in your community? But I do know people who work on these type of issues. I focus on my strengths. Whatever's not my calling, I'm gladly handing it over to somebody who can handle all of that, because I don't try to speak above people. I just make sure that I talk about what I know, but I can point you in the right direction and try to be a guide in the community rather than take on all of this and try to be a jack of all trades. But naturally, what I try to do is, like I say, tell my story, tell them something interesting about what's going on in politics, learn a little bit about them, listen to them, and then hopefully we built a relationship, built some type of starting point for connection. And that way, you know, that's how community people work and that's how we organize.
So as we've all sort of touched on, there's a lot of barriers to voting, which can be even more difficult for Black and Brown communities. You have the language barrier, transportation, moving the polling sites, the time because, you know, you're working and you can't get off of work to go vote, voter IDs, new laws, all sorts of things. It seems like a lot. And sometimes I think it can feel super insurmountable. I would hazard a guess that you all have more optimism towards fighting that, given what you do with voter registration and voter education. So along those lines, how do you begin to address these many, many barriers? Do you pick one at a time? What strategy do you have to try and tackle some of these barriers or remove them so that Black and Brown communities can get to the polls and make their voice heard?
For me, it is important for people to understand that we don't have to be experts in everything political. Sometimes we receive the information in a way that the people have to be experts in everything, that they have to know everything about every candidate and every political party. And that is intimidating for anyone, even more for people who are not familiar with the system, who are not familiar with the process. For that, I always remind people that we don't have to be experts in all this. We know our issues. We know who better represent our issues. And even if it's not the right person, we still need to go and cast our vote. And that is really important, because we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to know everything. We need to show participation. And we have idea of the people who is running and figure out who aligns better with our way of thinking, with our ideals. And based on that, just follow your gut feeling, because that is important. When you are not that familiar, it is important to start with what your heart tells you to do and choose the person that you feel will better represent your issues. And that is important. Don't try to understand every single thing that is happening in politics. Don't expect to wait till you gain more information. It is important to be informed. It is important to to have an idea what the platform of the candidates have to offer us. And based on that, but don't wait till you feel 100% comfortable, 100% sure that you are going to cast your vote for the right person, because that may never happen, but we need to start someplace. And that is important. Do your best. And when we cast our votes, we also have the right to raise our voice when those elected officials are not representing us. And yes, I cast my vote even for you or for the other person, but still I'm a registered voter. I'm voting on elections and I have the right to come to ask you to do the right thing for me or to ask you why you are not representing or you are not doing what you said that you will do if elected.
You know, there are a lot of different issues that probably discourage people from voting. And, you know, it's impossible to be a motivational speaker to everybody on all those different issues. But what we do encourage is being aware of what's going on in the community. And you might not know about every candidate, but there are a lot of issues that we can break down and explain to people that helps them to make the proper decision for themselves. One thing that we focused on over the last year is making sure that we actually even engage the younger people, even who can't vote, in on certain different issues. I personally was able to work with a group of students from Little Rock, North Little Rock, Conway, and even in Searcy, Arkansas, on creating TikTok videos that broke down laws and policy in 1 minute. Because that's all you have on TikTok, is the max is 1 minute. And so talking to them about issues that could be like hours and hours of conversation became 1 minute scripts with them. And they were able to disperse that in their community. And it helped them to get involved and get engaged and let people know, like, hey, when I turn 18, I'm making sure that I'll be talking about this type of issue. I'll be looking for people who have this on their platform because, you know, it was something cool that they worked on, and they were able to talk about it, write scripts, and even poetry about it. And so we just try to encourage people to be as innovative as possible. I know the traditional approach a lot of times kind of gets old to people, but we just encourage people to, you know, just know your role and play your part, you know what I'm saying? Work on your strengths, and there are issues in the community that you can focus on, and talking to people about voting, you know what I'm saying? We know that that happens a lot. And so we just encourage people to find what their interests are and what issues are in their community and just work on that. But part of working on that, that's one tool to get to freedom and liberate people, is just the voting part of it. But there's so much beyond just voting too, that, you know what I'm saying, when voting doesn't work for you or doesn't work for people around you, you know, there are ways to go through that. We actually talk to people after certain things didn't pass. We talked about veto referendums and how that can change the vote. We talked about recalling elections. And if you're dissatisfied with somebody in your community, go get those signatures. Arkansas has an easy way to access the ballot through petition. And there will be ways that the legislators will be trying to attack petitions in the next upcoming legislative session. So while we have that access to the ballot through petitions, use it and use your voice. And always encouraging the next group of people to run for office as well, too. A lot of times when we get people involved in these voter registration and voter mobilization efforts, they find out and say, hey, I think I would be a good candidate. I think I would be a good person to be on this school board or run for city director or, you know, Quorum Court, Justice of Peace, all of this type of stuff. A lot of people don't know what these people do. So this is a way that we actually start to groom and develop our next leaders. And a lot of the times it just happens with a civic engagement and a voter engagement. And so we try not to be discouraged, because there's so much work just even around that sometimes that we have to be optimistic about it. And it's, honestly, it's an inspirational reel for us too.
Historically, minority voters are less likely to vote than their white counterparts. And so sometimes I think people take that to mean that, you know, because the term itself, minority, means fewer than, right? But when you put it all together, there's actually quite a substantial Latina population, substantial African-American population, you know, enough to have an impact on elections. It just kind of depends where you are, right? In Arkansas, we're working on redistricting right now as we record this, but the state does have a few majority-minority districts. Kedra, I'll ask you this. Can you speak to the impact that minority voters can have if they turn out?
You know, it's funny that you asked me that, because in the district that I ran, we have a significant minority population, 36% in some of the areas, but, you know, only 17, 18% participate in the vote. And that's kind of the sad part of it, right? Because we're trying to motivate these people for them to understand, hey, listen, we can have a voice if we vote. And so it's kind of just come to the point where you have to just say it. You know, I found myself last week, I register people everywhere I go. I could be at the gas station and I'm talking to people like, hey, are you registered to vote? Let me talk to you. You know, I'm the creeper that does that. And so I was talking to this guy and he was like, I don't do that. It doesn't matter. They're going to do what they want to do. And so I had to really break it down to him. Like, listen, you know, in our Senate right now, in our state, there is Joyce Elliott and there is Linda Chesterfield and Stephanie Flowers. That's it. That's what we got. And so, you know, it's like of all the senators in our state in representing us, you're saying that we only have 3% of the population that is African-American, three people three people. It just doesn't make sense. We're not being represented and we're not being represented because we don't vote and our needs aren't being represented. And not just because we don't have African-Americans in the Senate, it's just because we're not voting. So we're not letting our voice be heard. So it's about encouraging. And I agree with Osiris when he says, you know, you gotta talk to the youth, because I find that my daughter comes home to me and talks to me about TikTok. And now I'm on TikTok, right? I would not have gotten on TikTok. I'm one of those like social media inept people. And so talking to our youth, talking to our minority youth, especially I find in the Latino community, because like Miss Margarita was saying, you know, a lot of the younger generation are first-time voters in their family because their parents aren't registered. So talking to them and educating them about voting and why it's important, that bleeds, whether they can vote or not, that bleeds into the home. You know, I registered a young Filipino lady when I was on the campaign trail, and she called me a month later to register her father. At 72, he registered to vote. I still have these pictures to this day because he was excited. He was so happy. And it's because he felt like he was really able to participate in a process that he didn't understand really existed, you know, and didn't understand its impact on our community. I talk to people and I say, listen, do you know that the taxes you pay and the social services you receive and, you know, what you're charged for your property taxes and all these different things are impacted by your vote? I mean, everything is impacted by your vote. And if you cannot take the time for your voice to be heard, or if you will not commit to hearing your voice, then you don't really have a right to complain. So now that you're being educated on it, now that you're being told about it, let's get involved, let's do something. If you need help, you know, I have 7 part-time organizers employed across the state. We organize, we call, we text, we you know, talk to people. If you don't understand something, if you need assistance with a ride or things like that to the polls, we are that liaison to help people to exercise this right and to participate in this process. Because that's an impediment for minority communities, right? That's an impediment for places like Pine Bluff. Pine Bluff is majority minority. But we struggle here to get our people to vote. And it's because, no, I can't go to early voting because it's during the day and I work a 12-hour shift at Tyson. And on Tuesday, I would have to take off to go vote. who's going to do that when you're check to check? So there has to be a way for us to make this easier and more accessible. And unfortunately, that's not on the agenda right now for our legislators to make it easy and accessible. So we have to figure it out. We have to figure out how to get our voices heard, to let more voices be heard, and then let the people say what they want.
As we start to wrap up the conversation, are there any final thoughts that you would like to leave with our audience?
One of the things is definitely the Arkansas legislature doesn't represent the demographics. It's a lot of work to do. And the current legislators are making it harder every time for people to participate. Instead of facilitating, they are putting more hurdles in our way, so discouraging people to vote or making it harder for people to try it. So for us, it is important for people to understand that your vote counts, that you have the right and responsibility to participate, not just for you, but for the people who are not able or willing to cast their votes. We need to make our voice count and our vote count, because that is the only way that things are going to change in our communities.
Last year, one of the things that our people were so excited about was the work that was going on in Georgia with people talked about Stacey Abrams and how much work she did. After that election last year, people want to say, where's our Stacey Abrams at in all these different states that were looking to make some changes like that too as well. And I say this right here, you know, saying we have a Stacey Abrams here. We have plenty of Stacey Abrams here. But what you have to do is these organizations have to do, you have to value your organizers, your Stacey Abrams in your organization, pay them good wages. It is voter registration, voter mobilization, voter engagement is work. It's not a hobby, it's work. And so you have to have people who are able to go out there and do the work, because it wasn't just Stacey Abrams in Georgia. It was pro-Georgia. It was the Georgia Coalition of People's Agenda. It was Black Voices Matter. It was the New Georgia Project, Black Women's Roundtable, Transformative Justice Coalition, Georgia Black Youth Vote. These people worked collectively, that's another thing about it too, is collective work and responsibility. We have to work with each other to hold ourselves accountable. And so I say it all the time, there's an African proverb that I live by. Many hands make light work. We get things done easier when we work together, regardless of our differences of our school of thoughts, regardless of our differences in our backgrounds and where we're from in our communities and what organizations we represent. If we want to get to that goal where Arkansas is not 50th out of 51, in voter turnout and voter registration, we have to do some collective work together and, believe in our mission and our goals. And so I just encourage people to, like I say, just stay optimistic about this work. And it's definitely working. And I'm calling them out. Organizations, value your organizers and your people that do this work, because if you want to make that change, you have to seriously invest in your organizers and the people in your organization that make these changes happen in your state.
I 100% agree. You know, I was just going to say, we can't do this work in a silo. And I think many times people are on their own ships. And so we have to come together and put this yacht in the right direction and make it, you know, make the move. You know, you're right when you say Stacey didn't do it alone, and she didn't do it in 1 year. I mean, this was, you know, she'll tell you it's 10 plus years of work. Hard, consistent, focused work, you know, and you're right. Organizing is not, you know, it's not the sexy stuff that people do. It's not the stuff where, you know, you get to be on camera and, you know, look pretty in your suit. No, we're walking door to door and we're wearing out our sneakers and we're sweating or we're cold, but we're registering voters because it's the work that has to be done. It's the necessary work. And so I ask that anybody that's listening to this podcast, anyone that has any glimmer of wanting to do anything, contact any one of us or contact any local organization, get involved, make a call. If you're uncomfortable making calls, send a text. If you're uncomfortable sending text, send an email. If you're uncomfortable, if you want to be out in front, go knock on a door and get some registration cards. Register voters. Lock in with an organization that can train you how to do it. Train you how to make sure that they're filling out the ballot the right way, making sure that you can keep in touch with them so you have to get the different waiver. You know, all these are different things that have to be done in order for us to move forward. So we can't be reckless about it, but we have to be concerted in our effort to make this a success. And it is not, you know, someone was asking me the other day, so what are you going to run for next? And I said, I'm running for my life is what I'm running for. I'm running for my life. I'm running to register these voters. I'm running for my kids. I want my kids to know that their voices are heard in this community. And it's not just one type of person that's going to represent their ideals and what's going to happen on their state. And so it's important that we all do this work. And you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be anything. You can just have this passion. Have a passion to do the work. Have a passion to talk to people about being involved in their communities. You know, community activism is something that is not, you know, you don't have to have a degree for it. You just have to have the heart for it. And so everyone on this call has the heart for it. I appreciate you for having this. This is so great and so important and just so amazing that, you know, you had the thought to do it. And I appreciate you and I thank you. And I thank everyone else for their time and your hard work in your communities.
Kedra, Margarita, Osiris, thank you all for doing the work and for taking the time to speak with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing this issue, and now it is important more than ever.
Our guests today were Kedra Burrell, Executive Director of Fight Forward Arkansas, Margarita Solorzano, Executive Director of the Hispanic Women's Organization of Arkansas, and Osiris Bali, Organizer for the Little Rock Freedom Fund. You can find links to their organizations on our website, argotsoul.com/affirmativeaction. You can also listen to past episodes of the show there, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. If you've got a topic you'd like to hear discussed on our next episode, or if you want your business mentioned as a sponsor of the show, send an email to explore@argotsoul.com. If you don't have a business, but you're a fan of the show, you can support this work by donating a couple of bucks at argotsoul.com/donate. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back soon with a brand new episode, but until then, take care.